This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Galatians chapter 6, looking at verse 14, where Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." God forbid that I should glory. Now, in the previous verse, Paul was talking about men who were glorying in their ability to convince other men to their way of persuasion, and how they gloried in the flesh. But in contrast to those who would glory in their flesh, Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ." Jeremiah, speaking for the Lord in 9:23, said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Jeremiah speaks of how wise men so often like to glory in their wisdom. And whenever I hear a man glorying in his wisdom, I'm reminded of the words of Shakespeare, who said, "And man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best." What's your best subject? The subject that you know more about than any other subject. Now, of all that could be known of that subject, how much do you know of the total capacity of the knowledge in that particular field? Man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best. There are many who profess themselves to be wise and who in their wisdom declare that there is no God. And whenever I hear a man making that kind of declaration, though he may have certain academic accolades, I always think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 14, where he declared, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." There are other men who profess to be wise, and they say that if God does exist, he is unknowable by man. And thus they profess to be agnostics. That is why the prophet Jeremiah said, "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows and understands me." Jesus said that unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In a very real sense, God is unknowable to the human intellect. In the book of Job, we find the question, "Who by searching can understand God completely?" And the obvious answer is no man. Jesus said, "No man knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him." If you have come to a knowledge of God, that's something to glory about. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows and understands God. If you've come to a knowledge of God, it's because Jesus has revealed the truth of God to your heart, and thus cause for glorying. Because I know God, I only know him because he has chosen to reveal himself to me. By searching, man cannot find or understand God. Paul spoke of those who profess themselves to be wise, but had actually become fools. because they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God, and they made gods that were fashioned like unto men or unto beast. And they began to worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Paul wrote that the world by wisdom knew not God. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit that he was going to send, he said, "But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've commanded you." And then he told them that the Holy Spirit, the world cannot receive him, he said, because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him. "But you know him," he said, "for he dwells with you and shall be in you." So wisdom, the wisdom of the world, does not always mean true wisdom. And those who glory in their wisdom, if they know not our Lord Jesus Christ, their glorying is empty. Solomon observed, with all of his wisdom, that one day he was going to be no better off than the fool, because the fool will die and he will die. And so, why am I any better than he? Solomon observed. Death comes to all. At the time of death, the wisdom of the world will be of no value to you whatsoever. All of the things that you've learned, all of your acquired knowledge will be of no value at that moment except your knowledge of God. So he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Look at how people today strive to attain the body beautiful. Billions of dollars being spent in order to make our bodies fit, more presentable, searching and seeking after that perfect physique. It's pretty much the scene in professional sports today. But you know, as strong as you might develop your body, as perfect your muscular tone, again, one day, all of the physical strength that you have will not be able to prevent death. The mighty man dies as well as the weak. And at that point of death, all of the trophies that are in the case, all of your athletic achievements, all of your World Series rings will mean absolutely nothing. The only thing that will really count when you come to that point of death is whether or not you know God. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Paul said, "I'm pressing toward the mark." That is, I'm running the race. And I'm pressing towards the finish line because I want the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, the professional athletes, they train, they discipline themselves. They work hard in order that they might obtain a corruptible crown. But we are seeking an incorruptible crown. Jeremiah went on to say, "Let not the rich man glory in his riches." So many people today like to display their riches. They ride around in limousines. They flash the big diamonds, and they want people to be envious of them. As they step out of their limousines, they want you to think, ooh, ah, isn't that wonderful? Wish I were rich like that. In the Psalms, David said, Psalm 49, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of a soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. You can't redeem a brother. You can't redeem yourself that you can live forever. The price of redemption is more than any amount of money could buy. For he seeth that the wise men die, and likewise the fool, and the brutish person perishes, and they leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever, and their dwelling places until all generations. And so they call their lands after their own name. The Smith spread. You know. But as the psalmist observes, all of the riches in the world cannot buy redemption. Jesus said, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world but lost your own soul? And when you come to that final breath, your riches will be worthless. The only thing of value when you get to that point is the treasure that you have laid up in heaven. There are many people who have been very rich in worldly things, but are spiritual paupers. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, the Lord said. Jesus spoke of the true riches, the eternal values. Paul spoke of the unsearchable riches that we have in Christ. James said, God has chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith. This desire for glory seems to be instilled in our corrupt nature, and it manifests itself very early in life. Have you ever noticed how little children are often crying, "Watch me, Daddy, watch me," as they jump off of a wall or off the table? And they want their daddy to say, "Oh, that's great. You're so strong. You're so brave." And they're wanting the glory of achievement. If we have a certain skill or talent, we love to show it off, that we might be admired and praised by others. I often had wished that I was really a talented pianist. I love to hear talented pianists. And I thought it would be so much fun to go into a room where you are completely unknown, and if there is a piano there, just sit down and start playing, you know, the Warsaw Concerto or something. Everybody would say, "Ooh, wow," you know. It's part of our nature, the desire to receive glory, to glory in the flesh. In verse 13, Paul was talking about those people that were glorying in their flesh. And that was their desire, that they might glory in the flesh. But But in contrast, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. I cannot glory in any accomplishment because Paul wrote, for who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as though you didn't receive it? What are you saying? That if you have anything that is of value or worthwhile, God gave it to you. All of the gifts and the talents that people possess are gifts that have been entrusted to them by God. Now, some people waste those gifts and talent, and they use them to get glory for themselves or money for themselves. But that is a prostituting of the gifts of God. If God has given you any gift, and that exercise of the gift should always be for the purpose of bringing glory to God. What do you have but what God gave to you? If God gave it to you, then why do you glory as though it wasn't, as though it's something of you? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, I spent several years trying to disprove that statement. I tried to prove that there were some things I could do of worth and value. But after years of frustration and failure, I've come to agree, without him, I can do nothing. Any good or value that may have come from my life in any wise, to God be the glory for the things that he has done. Why do I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ? First of all, the cross speaks to me of the extent of God's love for me. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. How much? That he gave his only begotten Son. That tells you the extent of God's love for you. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son to redeem you from your sin. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And then he laid down his life for you, demonstrating supreme love. John wrote, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loves us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Paul wrote, but God has manifested his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ because it not only tells us of the extent of God's love for us, but it also tells us the extent that God is willing to go in order to help us and to bless us. Paul said, if God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more then shall he not freely give us all things? You see, whatever your need might be today, it pales in insignificance when compared to that which God has already demonstrated his willingness to give to you. God showed his willingness to give to you the very best that he had. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for you. How much more then shall he not freely give you all things? Therefore, as Jesus said, ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. God is wanting to give good gifts to his children. He has demonstrated that And of course, the cross tells me to the extent that God is willing to give to me. Paul declared, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We glory in the cross because it is on the cross that Jesus conquered the forces of darkness that are opposed to your living in fellowship with God. It is through the cross of Jesus Christ that we have the victory over these opposing forces. Paul wrote concerning the cross, "By it, Jesus conquered those principalities and powers that are against you, as he triumphed over them through the cross, and he made an open display of his victory." Jesus was victorious through the cross over the principalities and powers of darkness. And now through his victory, I have victory. The cross removed the sting of death. Paul cried, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? For the sting of death," he said, "is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, because in it I have victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ because it is through and because of the cross that I have the hope of eternal life. When Jesus was with his disciples the night that he was betrayed and the day before he was crucified, he said to his disciples that the hour had come when he had to give his life. And talking about his death, he said, "Because I live, you too shall live." What an interesting thing to say on the verge of your death. "Because I live, you too shall live." But he was prophesying of the resurrection. Death will not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he'll tear the bars away. "Because he lives," he said, "you too shall live." Paul wrote, "For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will make your mortal body alive by his spirit that dwells in you." Peter said, "Oh, thank God. We have been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, that's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith." Thank God. I have the hope of eternal life through the cross of Jesus Christ and by his resurrection, so that I can face that day when death knocks at my door with tremendous confidence, because I know that death is only the gate through which I pass to enter into the Father's house and to the eternal glory of his kingdom. I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ because of the hope of eternal life that is brought to me because of the cross, because there he paid the price to redeem me from my sin. All of the money in the world could not redeem me, but Jesus paid the price. The cross, he redeemed my soul. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Earlier in this same letter to the Galatians, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've been crucified with Christ. And so Paul repeats that, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That is, I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. It's interesting that you can take all the world has to offer, the glory of wealth, the glory of strength, the glory of money, and you can take all of the allurements and enticements that the world might offer and wave them before a dead man. He won't bat an eyebrow. Why? He's dead. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. And as the words of that one song go, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which I was crucified to the world and the world to me. We read concerning Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had recompense unto the final results. That's what you have to take into consideration. That's why we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when it comes down to that final moment on this earth, when we breathe our last breath, when our eyes are closed in death, it is then that we cherish more than ever the cross of Jesus Christ. Because our redeemed souls shall take their flight into his glorious kingdom. God forbid that I should glory in anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It is through the reckoning of myself to be dead with Christ that I'm freed from the power of sin that once held sway over my flesh. People talk today of freedom. The freedom that they talk about is not true freedom. People are seeking the freedom to use marijuana. They're trying to enact legislation that will give them the freedom to use marijuana. Of course, I'm sure there are others that would like the freedom to use heroin or cocaine. They'd like all of the laws removed, and after all, it's my body. I ought to be able to do with it what I want, ingest what I please. And people are talking about freedoms. But the freedom they are talking about is not true freedom. The Bible says, don't you realize that whatever you yield yourself to obey, you become its servant? And if you say, well, I have the freedom to use marijuana, you become a slave. I have the freedom to do drugs, you become a slave. I have a freedom to, you know, look at any kind of pictures that I want to see. You become a slave. And you find that you're not free. And oftentimes a person finds that they are so bound in these things that they want to be free, but they can't. They are held in the grip of sin, the vice grip of sin. Sin has that binding effect upon a person. It brings you into bondage. In fact, the scripture talks about the bondage of corruption. I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ because through it, I am truly free. Not free to do all of those things, but I have the freedom that I don't have to do them. I'm free from that bondage to the flesh and to the things of the flesh. I'm not a slave any longer to my own fleshly passions and desires. I've been crucified unto the world and the world unto me. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus, by which I today am victorious and I am free. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks to you that you so loved us that you sent your Son, who redeemed us from the bondage of corruption, that we might know you and live in fellowship with you eternally. Oh Lord, how blessed we are. How blessed. And now, Father, we pray that as we go, that we will go forth rejoicing as we glory in all of the benefits that have come to us as the result of Jesus dying on the cross to redeem us from sin. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and turn in our hymnals to page 49. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Do you know him? You see, that's the key and the heart of the issue. Not to glory in wealth, might, abilities, riches, but glory that you know him. Do you know him? You can know him today. You can begin to know and to understand God and his love for you today. If you don't know God, surely you need to know him. And there will come a day when you will have wished that you knew him and you knew him better. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you and to help you to begin this glorious experience of knowing God. Let him that glorieth glory that he knows and understands me. God forbid I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. And may we go this week glorying in what God has done for us through the cross.